We're talking about our culture of mass consumption at the holidays. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. We've heard, you know, don't give more stuff, right? Give experience gifts. The toys and the socks, they all fade over time. They get lost. Gifting experiences, on the other hand, cause entirely different neurochemical reactions in our brain that could yield positive emotions like happiness or joy. So do you follow through on this? How do you feel about holiday shopping? Is it something you enjoy or does it stress you out? Do you think consumerism is over the top? We're at 800-642-1234. Christine Whelan is a professor of consumer science at UW-Madison School of Human Ecology. Her most recent book is called The Big Picture, A Guide to Finding Your Purpose in Life. Christine, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So how could we, if we're interested in really adopting this, in buying less this holiday season, how do you shift away and you know, stop this consumerism in your tracks?
First of all, shoppers are expected to spend about $1,500 per household in this 2019 holiday season. So for a lot of us, we're looking at a lot of money, and that can be stressful. So I encourage everybody to kind of take a step back and first think about three basic questions. What are your values? Like, what do you care about most? And how can you spend in keeping with those values? What activities bring you joy? Like, what do you actually enjoy doing? And what do those you love enjoy doing? And then who do you want to have a positive impact on this holiday season? So what organizations or types of people do you want to help? And by asking those three questions and then putting it together in what I have designed as a kind of a consuming happiness holiday manifesto, you can be armed to go into the stores and to buy those last minute gifts, knowing that you're spending not only in keeping with your values, but that you're going to get something that others really enjoy. So I put it all together with this line: this holiday season, I'll spend my time, talent, and treasure in keeping with my values. And then you insert your values. I'll focus on joyful activities, including, and then you list the activities that bring you and your loved ones joy, to promote my own thriving and the well-being of, and then you list the people that you want to positively impact. And say, you know, really this holiday season, instead of just buying more stuff, I'm going to try to consume happiness.
So this manifesto, you know, it can work very personally and you have to think about it. But then, you know, there are all of these competing forces, like the relatives who aren't part of your manifesto.
So for me, one of the things that I did was I passed my manifesto out at my Thanksgiving table. I tried to get everybody on board from the beginning. But you're right. There are going to be those relatives who just want to give gifts. So one of the things that that I always like to do is I always like to have a gift cabinet that sometimes I re-gift some of these gifts in the gift cabinet, but I've always got something ready to go for that unexpected person that says, you know, oh, here, this is for you. I thought of you. And that can take some pressure off. If you want to spend on experiences rather than things, you can still use this idea of a gift cabinet. Instead, what you're putting together are experiences where you and this other person can go do something together. And it doesn't even have to be that expensive. You can be, it can be a coffee gift certificate, but instead of just giving them $10 for coffee, what you're saying is that I will go to coffee with you and we will catch up and maybe set our resolutions for the coming year. You could put together a time to go through photos and to plan new memories. And sometimes if you know as a family that you're going to go on a vacation, I really like to gift that vacation around the holiday season, even though we'll probably, you know, pay for it anyway. But it's nice because then if you're going to go to the beach in the summertime, you can wrap up a pair of flip-flops and put it under the tree. And that counts as a gift.
And it certainly counts as an experience in the waiting, something to look forward to as you get closer to this really special time.
Indeed. And that is what we find in research is the thing that really gives us the most bang for our buck. And so there's lots of research that says if you pay for things in advance, So if you separate the pain of paying with the joy of actually experiencing it by paying in advance, and then you anticipate the experience, so you start looking at all the fun things that you might do on this vacation or trip, or listen to the music of a particular concert that you're going to get excited, then, you know, that line, anticipation is 9/10 of delight. Well, it really is true when we're giving things as well.
Talking with Christine Whelan, she is a professor of consumer science at UW-Madison. So how do you feel about holiday shopping right now? Is it something you appreciate, or does it stress you out? Do you have a type of manifesto that you'd like to share on your approach to giving during the holidays? We're at 800-642-1234. For email ideas at WPR.org. Christine, talking about money in so many families is really difficult. It's fraught. But you are really urging couples and families to talk about holiday spending and really set some budgets. What would you say?
So I direct the Money, Relationships, and Equality Initiative at UW-Madison, and we offer all sorts of free resources for couples to talk about money. And really, it is it's this hot button issue, and when we have fights about money, when we have concerns about money, the interesting thing is it's not about money. It's about values and time. It's about whose ideas and whose interests get the resources allocated to them. It's about whether you feel like your time is valuable and compensated at the rate that it should be. So I recommend that everybody, when they start talking about money, really back up and talk about values. What matters to me as an individual? What can we agree matters to us as a family? And then in terms of time, so much of the advice is to try to buy time in the holidays, to buy a service or something that would make life easier. That is excellent advice, as long as you use that time to do something that brings you more joy, to bring your family more joy. So really having these conversations in advance of spending the money and coming to both individual inside yourself and family agreements, if possible, is a way to prevent a lot of those tensions and money fights down the line.
Well, let's take a look at the flip side of this. When might it be worthwhile to give someone a really pricey gift, something that could be really big?
I am not at all opposed to pricey gifts. I am opposed to pricey gifts that don't have thought behind them, right? So many of these experiences that we talk about can, in fact, be very pricey. My partner and I have really stopped giving each other actual material gifts, and instead we are gifting, you know, this vacation is on me. Now, that is very expensive. If you've ever tried to go out to dinner multiple nights in a row and booked a hotel, you know, these things can be quite expensive. But they can also be quite meaningful if you do the research in advance, if you think about it in advance and you realize that this is part of your values and about building memories together. So if you, again, think about the investment as not about buying a concrete thing, but as building memories that will last a lifetime, that can be talked about and that, by the way, get better with time, even if you're not the most creative storyteller. Research shows that we tend to embellish our memories over time and they get better with every passing day. So these are times when it is actually good to invest the money.
Christine Whelan is a UW-Madison consumer science professor. We're talking about our tendency to give material presents and what the alternatives are at the holidays and scaling down this consumption that's going on. Do you celebrate in a different way? What makes a good gift, in your opinion? Join in, 800-642-1234. There's a line for you. You can also email your thoughts to ideas at WPR.org. Back in a moment, more conversation with Christine Whelan here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're talking about the culture of consumerism here on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. So by every indication, buying stuff at the holidays is alive and well. We're doing it on our devices, especially online sales for Thanksgiving and Black Friday. They increased 17% year over year. Wall Street says Target and Walmart were the standout performers of this Black Friday. So what is the best gift you've ever given or the best gift you've ever received? What made it meaningful? How do you approach gift giving at the holidays? Do you shop for gifts? Do you tend to think about experiences more? Join in 800-642-1234. Tweet us WPR Mornings. Christine Whelan is a consumer science professor and she stays with us. Christine, shopping, though, can feel good. It can be a way to deal with stress, get a quick mood boost. What is happening when we do shop to ourselves, the person who is buying these gifts?
So the research shows that certainly when we shop, we get a dopamine hit, meaning we get this sense of immediate satisfaction in our brain. However, it's not very long-lasting, and then especially as those credit card bills roll in, if we've overspent, we can have a real reverse effect. There's research that shows that people often shop when they feel lonely or isolated, which is something that many struggle with during the holiday season, but in fact, shopping is not the cure for that. Better to get out with friends and family and save your money. And actually try to be with people rather than be in the stores focusing on things that, you know, bluntly won't love you back. However, this is the challenge here is, especially if there are parents out there listening, there are little children who have this expectation that there are going to be lots of gifts. So all of our talk about experiences and non-material things is a particular challenge for parents of young children, and especially when money is tight. These are caveats that we have all got to put on and how to try to teach our children that gifts don't have to be massive to be meaningful.
Well, let's look at the spiritual side of consumerism. In recent years, we've seen makeover shows like Tidying Up with Marie Kondo selling this idea that things make us happy, but we also have to take away things in our lives to be one with ourselves. What do you think about these messages of consumerism as we look at, you know, the cult followings and the media out there?
So there are a couple messages that are going on. First, there is the message that if you have too much stuff, it clutters your mind, it clutters your heart, and you need to let go, that sort of Marie Kondo approach to only keeping what's meaningful to you. That's wonderful, but it's also a message that is really for those who are affluent enough to have the quote-unquote problem of having too much stuff. We can't assume that everybody has that, right? Then there is the other message that if you are successful, then you will have stuff, and that's because the universe or God has bestowed some spiritual favor upon you, and that is, in fact, desirable. And so we have that message as well. Personally, I think if we can remove things from our spiritual life as best as possible, it is a much better recipe for success. If you are going to be downsizing and getting rid of a bunch of things, one wonderful way to do it is to give things away at this time of year and to make donations so that then you can feel good about sharing things. Another great thing that I really love to do is to not buy things, but instead rent and engage in the sharing economy. Everything from renting clothes to, you know, renting a house for an experience.
Talking with Christine Whelan. She's a professor of consumer science at UW-Madison, and we're looking at how to give meaningful gifts at the holidays. So what makes a good gift, in your opinion? What is the best gift you've ever given or the best gift you've ever received? What made it meaningful? Join in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Katie emailed to say it's actually the older generation in her family that insists on giving presents and spending money. And this forces Katie and Katie's husband to run around town picking up various gift cards and presents that will soon be forgotten, in Katie's words. They've tried to suggest alternatives, but no one else agreed. What advice do you have here?
what I ended up doing, especially for the older generation, was going through older photos and putting together photo gifts, either a small photo book or a photo ornament or a desktop plaque of some sort. And what I liked about this was that it highlighted the memory, and rather than a gift certificate, it was something that hopefully the person would enjoy throughout the year. This has really been my go-to thing to encapsulate memories, and I'm kind of now known for it in my family. So, you know, that's the other wonderful thing I think that you can do. You can be the memory and experience person in your family and kind of take over that role if you so choose.
That is so cool you say that, because I'm thinking of the boxes and boxes of old pictures that, you know, are stored away, tucked in an attic, and all of the possibilities that could go along with that. Another thing I wanted to share is that at the holidays, my mom used to gift several of her older ornaments and then, you know, pass them on to me. But she would like pick out which ones that she would be gifting to me. And that was really special as well, because each ornament has a story behind it.
Absolutely. And that actually is one new tradition that I have started. Every time I travel now with my partner, we buy a new ornament. And it's been so fun. We've been doing this for the last year or so. And to see the tree beginning to reflect our experiences over the years is very meaningful and will be meaningful to everybody going forward.
Let's look for a moment at online shopping and how it changes our views with consumerism, making it perhaps more isolating experience than browsing, brick and mortar stores. What do we know about the impact of our digital lives on how we give gifts?
One of my favorite expressions is that shoppers need to watch out for wine o'clock. 9 o'clock apparently is the time when mommies like me have put their children to bed and can sit down with a glass of wine and go shopping. And I got to tell you, the boxes that are arriving after my 9 o'clock shopping from Black Friday a little bit ago are pretty impressive. It is dangerous. It can be very dangerous to shop because you forget how much you've purchased. And it's very important to go in with a list. Now, in my case, I feel actually quite good about it because I got everything out of the way for the kids when the sales were good, and now I'm finished. But there is that tendency to overbuy. We say, oh, it's no problem, we can return it, and you can, but those returns can be a real hassle on the other end. And yes, it is more socially isolating because there is quite a there's an energy of a busy store during the holidays. Now, it's not to say that everybody has left the brick and mortar stores. In fact, I think we see more and more folks saying, you know, it's really nice to try something on. It's really nice to go in there and touch it and see it and experience it for ourselves. So in our consumer science department, we're looking at the experience of shopping as a sort of a new experience where it's not just about acquiring the thing itself, but about perhaps going with a friend and making the experience of shopping the gift that you give.
Christine, UW-Madison also has this Money, Relationships, and Equality initiative. What is the research coming out of this initiative?
So the Money, Relationships, and Equality initiative was for couples at all stages of life, whether you're beginning a relationship, whether you have been in a relationship for a long time, or even whether you are dissolving a relationship, looking toward creating a new one and a blended family. The idea is that what we've designed is these one-pagers and free workbooks to help couples talk about money and to kind of take that big, scary topic that you don't want to have turn into an argument and give you some framework and some questions so that you can have a productive conversation. As I said, fights about money are really discussions and disagreements about values and how to put resources toward those values and time, whether you feel like your time is being valued in the relationship. So having a framework for those discussions can be very helpful. We've got lots of research and links to other websites. plus all sorts of little TV clips and radio commentary like this show as well, to give people the background of what they need to have healthier relationships when it comes to that intersection of money and love.
Getting back for a moment to your manifesto and really having to, at the root of it, understand who you are and what you want in the relationships and circles in your life, how important is it to have this type of kind of doctrine for yourself?
I see it as really crucial because it gives you that feeling that you are spending in keeping with your values, and it gives you a positive boost just as you are giving good things to other people. One of the evil little tricks that I recommend is that you take a business card, and on the back of a business card, you either write down this full manifesto that I discussed, which you, by the way, can find on the Money Relationships and Equality website or on my website as well. But if you just want to write down a couple words on the back of a business card, write down your core values. Write down three or four core words or phrases that that really make up who you are. And then paperclip that business card to the credit card that you use most. And so every time you pull it out to make an expense, look at it and say, is this in keeping with my values?
Christine, thank you so much for joining us. Christine Whelan is a professor of consumer science at UW-Madison School of Human Ecology. This is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.